I am very excited for this episode. I have my parents, my sister Olivia. It's very meaningful to me. It's very special.
You have the best family.
My family is great. I love them.
What do you think about Vanessa suggesting that you were the reason she wasn't invited to Jared's wedding?
I think it's fucking bullshit. slightly irritated. I mean, if we're going to spend time talking about our personal lives to promote our own podcast, like they did. That's totally what it was.
Do you really think he wanted to not invite her on air?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think Jared had anything to do with that. And I think Jared was pretty frustrated with that whole bit.
Okay.
Listen, if I had a problem with Vanessa coming to the wedding, then I probably would have had a problem with Jared doing a podcast with Vanessa when he lived with me on my couch.
He did.
Well, he wasn't on my couch. But when Jared moved to LA, I wanted him to move here. I had an extra room. And so as friends sometimes do, I said, well, before you commit to LA, why don't you just stay at my place for a while and see if you like it? And he did. And he loved it. He's still a little longer than I thought. Jared's good company though. And then like in 2 months in, he had this opportunity to do this podcast with Vanessa. And I was like, great, go for it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. So I think it's a little silly.
So
I don't necessarily appreciate the implication that I was somehow the reason. I could care less. I also think it would be a great Instagrammable moment. Could you imagine Vanessa there with her new boyfriend and they're dancing and like I'm pretend dancing by myself and in the background like that focus, like I do a landscape, like one of those portrait modes, and you see like Vanessa and her new boo kissing in the background. I'm just sitting there all lonely. I'd get some likes. I don't give a shit. I think it's annoying. Sometimes, and I'm just putting this out there, if you work with someone, you don't get to go to their wedding all the time.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's what I think.
A little cold. It's a little cold.
It's not my wedding.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I'm making a suggestion that maybe why someone might not be invited is because they're not actually friends. They're coworkers.
Oh, okay.
Totally unrelated to what we're talking about, but... That might be it.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak out of turn.
Well, it's good you set the record straight.
But maybe they're not friends. They're friendly.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, this is going to be a great episode with my parents. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick. I am joined by Rochelle.
Hello.
With us, as always. And it's a very special episode for me because my guest hosts or people joining us are my family, specifically my mom, my dad, and my sister, Olivia. Bella is in the background. We excluded her from this episode. You want to say hi, Bella?
Hi.
All right. Well, that was Bella. Thanks for joining us. My parents are visiting from Wisconsin, a little spring break, and they're staying with me. My place isn't meant for five people. I have a two-bedroom, a small little bungalow on the beach. It's very comfy and great for me and maybe my parents. It's a little tight right now, but I am really happy to have you guys. It's been really nice. My dad also broke his wrist here on this trip because he thought it'd be cool to ride a bird on a scooter with
scooter.
A coffee.
Not just a bird.
Actually, it was a lime.
It was a lime. For all those who aren't familiar with the scooters out there, yeah. What'd you do?
We were going out early to get coffee and. As we were leaving, Mary said, whatever you do, don't ride back with coffee. Walk back, which...
Did that dare you to...
Well, me being 62, it's like what I heard wasn't that. What I heard was, you're too old to do that. So, of course, I did it. It did not work out well. I had to go back and get another coffee, which at the time I thought was the worst part of it. And later on, as the day wore on...
Your wrist got... You had to defy your wife.
Not so much defy my wife as defy the idea of that I was getting too old to do something. You know, it's kind of a vanity thing.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry about your wrist, Dad. He has this very clunky
life lesson.
Do you have to get a cast?
I don't know yet. I have to see an orthopedic guy when we get back.
Orthopedic specialist.
Yeah.
He's rough. I think he's going to be fine. We also have my sister Olivia here.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
I wanted to have my family on, and you know, just because I enjoy their company so much. And I've referenced my parents and my family a little bit through each episode. And obviously, I love my family, but you know, I've recently become more and more proud of my family, especially as I think back on my life and reflect about my childhood and my upbringing and kind of the evolution of my family and even my life. The reason why my sister Olivia is joining us today, my sister Olivia recently came out as gay a few months ago. Anything to say about that?
No. I mean, it was an interesting path, trying to come out. It was like a lot to deal with, but I'm happy I did it.
I'm happy you did too. And the reason why I think, well, a lot of reasons, we'll get into it. But you know, I have 10 siblings. I grew up very conservative. We grew up very Catholic. We'll get in more about just, I don't know. I don't even know the answer in terms of, do my parents plan on having 11 kids, et cetera, et cetera. But
we don't know the answer to that either.
Yeah. But clearly we grew up in a very traditional Catholic household. And the idea of coming out or being gay I never really thought of it. It's become more progressive. And Olivia came out, she's now 18, but came out as a 17-year-old. And just overall, it was a positive thing in a sense of my family's reaction, specifically my parents. And I just thought that would be an interesting conversation given kind of where my family came from. And I think a lot of families out there, whether it's you have an LGBT person in your family or just someone who's different. I mean, my family is an extreme case in the fact that there's 11 kids. And so there's so many different personalities. And what is that like for parents to raise a bunch of kids who, quite honestly, don't grow up exactly how you might expect them to, or whether maybe there's or want them to. I don't know. I don't know. As parents, do you have an expectation of how you're? And then when they become all different, what is that like? But getting back to Olivia, I mean, you talked about what I'm interested in. I don't know the answer to is you talked about the struggle about coming out. And when you first, I don't know, how old were you when you started questioning your sexuality?
I was still 17. It was something that I didn't really think about. I had friends who thought I was, but I kind of brushed it aside. I was like, no, I'm not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. After I told a couple friends, there were certain friends who I knew, I wasn't sure how they would accept it because they never talked about it or mm-hmm. they weren't friends with people who were. So I wasn't sure how they'd react. But all of my friends were super supportive about it. No one was really.
And how long did you wait until you came out to mom and dad?
I waited the whole summer.
Okay.
It was 3 months, and I told them on Labor Day, the day before school started, that night.
Were you, and then you were okay, I'm going to tell them. What was that thought process like? To tell two parents who, we grew up around priests and nuns and had priests come over to give confession, just to give perspective on how Catholic our family is,
I mean, I wasn't sure how they would react. I wasn't sure how any of our siblings would react either. I figured most of them would be very accepting of it. So I told Bella first. Bella was the first person. I told Bella first.
That's a wild choice. I'm gonna pick the youngest person in our family and then drop this bomb on them.
Okay, well, I figured, she's around it enough that I was okay, she was warm up.
Testing her out. Not even remember. She's 14. She has other shit going on.
I figured she wouldn't care. I was just kind of seeing what she would say.
You told Bella first.
Yeah.
And then what was Bella's reaction?
Bella was okay. Didn't really know what to say. She was okay, I'm not really, she didn't really seem surprised by it.
Neat.
She didn't seem, she was great.
So then after Bella, who did you?
I was planning on telling mom and dad next, but Teresa found out next on accident.
Teresa is my other younger sister. So it goes Bella, Olivia, Teresa in reverse.
Yeah. And Teresa was 20 at the time. Yeah. Like 20 years old. And I was in my room and I was talking to a friend because I was figuring out how I was going to tell mom and dad. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. I was talking to a friend about it and I didn't know Teresa was home and I'm a loud talker. And Teresa came in my room and was like, I need to talk to you. And I was like, shoot. Like, I was like, no, Teresa doesn't like come up to me like, oh, I need to talk to you.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I was like, she knows. It's like, I was like, I know what this is about. And I was like, because she was like, finish up your conversation and I'll talk to you. And I was like, okay. And after having a conversation, I was like, okay, I'm done. She came in. She was like, so I overheard your conversation. I was like, okay. And she was like, are you like, she didn't know what to say. Like, she was like, didn't know how to start the conversation. She seemed like she was like, okay. And she was like, was that like, are you talking about your friend or was that about you? And I was like, no, it's about me. So she's like, so you're gay. I was like, yeah. And
so she what seemed, you're saying?
She seemed like she was very so you're accepting, a gay. But yeah. And it was just like, we just started talking about it for a while. And then Bella came in. She was like, oh, so you know now? And Tressa was so upset. She was like, you told Bella first out of all of us?
Teresa
and I
was like, more concerned about her
pecking order.
Her pecking order.
Yeah.
Immediately it was more like, wait, I'm not your favorite? Or...
I mean...
So, all right. So then she was upset about that.
Yeah. She was upset that I told Bella first.
Well, what? And then once she got over her own...
We just started talking about it. She was like, I don't know. I think she asked me if like how I found out and how I realized it. And she was like, when did this happen? She was like, are you dating someone? She was like, all that stuff. But it was more of just a very funny conversation between her and me and Bella.
So now the two, your two sisters know, and then that, and then you told mom and dad.
No. Sarah found out next.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Now Nick's offended.
Yeah, Nick, why are you so funny? No,
Sarah can be tricky.
The only reason I told Sarah next is because I was seeing her that day and I was like, okay, one last person before I warm up and tell mom and dad. One last person.
See how this goes.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
but so far you're batting 1,000, right? Like everyone you've told has been.
Yeah, has been great about it. Great. No one at this point had been like upset about it, had felt uncomfortable. Everyone was like, oh, cool. Or like, they were like, oh, I already knew that you were, or stuff like that. But I told Sarah because we were hanging out that day. I told her and she was like super excited about it. She was happy. And I was like, okay, great. So I'm ready to tell mom and dad. Like, cause she was an older sibling. So I was figuring, you know, if I tell an older sibling, we'll see how that goes first.
Sure.
But going up the ladder.
Yeah, basically. And then I told mom and dad.
Then you told mom and dad. And how did you tell them?
That's the interesting part. I wasn't going to tell them in person at first.
What were you going to do?
I wrote them a letter.
Okay.
And I was just going to, I was going to leave for the day. And I was like, set it all up.
Here you go.
Set it all up. I'll be back. I was like, Bella, take this letter. And when I leave the house, I'm going to have you give it to mom and dad.
Were you afraid? Like, what were you?
I didn't want to have to, like, I wasn't sure it was going to happen. But like deep down, I knew that they would be like accepting. And like, I knew that like, I knew they were going to be surprised, but I was like, I just want to like have them like kind of like read this and kind of like process it first.
Yeah. I can't imagine our reaction to you. Bella handing us this letter saying Olivia wanted to give us the, and I think we would have gone freaked out. I mean, initially it would have been dread to read this letter and wonder what is she writing on.
Though, make get them really scared. Worst. Be like, oh, thank God she's only gay. Great. It's not cancer. She's not running away.
Yeah.
So then you told mom and dad and...
Well, the only reason I didn't...
Well, you told him in
person,
though,
thank
right?
Teresa. Teresa's the reason I didn't give you a letter. Teresa was like, do not give him a letter. Like, just tell
Good
them.
Advice from the big sister.
Yeah. So Teresa, I don't know if I still have it, but like I like printed it out. I was all ready. And then Teresa was
you
like,
still
don't
have the
do
letter?
It. Should probably.
Frame it. You should keep that. You should. I think looking back, it might be a...
I don't think they've even read it.
Like, I didn't know it existed.
I don't think maybe you don't even share it to anyone. I think that would be a great
For you personally.
For you personally, you should definitely hang on to that.
I don't know if I'm thinking.
You're kind of wild to read 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
Yeah. But yeah, I told them, I like came downstairs. I was like walking around my room, like pacing. I was like, okay, this is what I'll say. And then I'll say this and they'll say that. And I was like planning out the conversation. And then I came downstairs and mom was like cooking in the kitchen. Dad was in the living room, like watching TV. And I came down and I was like,
I was standing there
and mom was like, what's wrong? Like she knew instantly something was wrong. I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. Like nothing's wrong. And I kept like walking around. She was like, something's wrong. Like, what's wrong? I was like, nothing. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, I need to talk to you. And instantly it was like, oh no, like what happened? What did you do? And I was like, I didn't do anything. It's not that bad. And then she was like, my mom called in dad. And then we sat in like the sunroom and I was like, so I didn't know what to say. Like, I think I worded it really weird. I was like, so I'm not straight.
No, I'm not. Actually, I think you said you were bi.
I came out as bi first. And because I, at that point, I still wasn't sure. I was still like kind of confused. And I came out as bi because I was like, I don't know if I want to like come out as like a lesbian at first because I don't know if I am. So I came out as bi first.
Which actually I think confused me more because in
my dad being like, eh?
Well, because she's not had a lot of relationship experience. I'm thinking, how do you decide that you're bi and you haven't really, you hadn't done a lot of dating. So I'm thinking, how do you know this?
And I had,
you
know, I had only dated guys at that point.
And then, so you came out as bi and then what?
I eventually was like.
Quick update, where I was are
like,
you now?
I'm gay. Like I'm a lesbian.
Well, I don't know how that works. If you're bisexual, if you're still part of the LGBT community,
you're on the spectrum. It's like
I think what the B. I think that's what the B stands for.
That is the B, LGBT.
See, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So you told, and then you guys, what was your reaction?
Well, I think for me personally is that when I could tell there was something wrong. And I think I got myself so worked up, like, oh my gosh, what is wrong? That when she told me, it was like, that's it, you know? So it really wasn't.
Were you guys surprised?
I don't know if I was totally shocked or no, because actually when we were talking about the other day, I was trying to think back and remember when she told me, and I can't even remember until you started talking about it now and it kind of started coming back. So it wasn't like a big shock. I know when she told me that she told Bella first, I got a little defensive.
You too?
Yeah. First of all,
not for the same reason.
No, it wasn't that. First of all, Bella was young and I'm sitting there thinking as a parent, okay, how is Bella taking this? And, you know, more concerned about how she was. And then I thought to myself, I thought, you know, here's an example of a parent underestimating a younger child. And I think Bella really taught us a lot as well. It's just like, you know, that she's children are very accepting. And I think that's what helps us as parenting throughout the years is that taught me to be more open and learning from my children without, you know, not underestimating, you know, them. You know, I think as a parent, sometimes you underestimate your children. And I think that situation helped me a lot. I will say that I did feel like I wish that, you know, I think you always wish that your child could come to you when there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know. And then I thought, you know, throughout the years, because we had such a large family, I just suspected that.
Which one was going
to
be?
You know, no, one of them would come to us.
Something you guys told me throughout the week, I never knew this, and we were talking about the upcoming podcast, is you guys, I don't know how long ago, but kind of as a couple, had a conversation.
It's like, it's inevitable.
What happens if one of our kids comes out as gay? And I guess, yeah, you have 11 kids. Right. Literally, statistically, it would have been more surprising that one wasn't.
Yeah.
But
I was waiting. I was like, come on, guys, like, step up. Who's going to be?
And I think that I always hope that if any of our children were gay, that they would feel comfortable enough. But as far as a parent, I realized that I never really talked about that freely. No. Not that it was a negative thing, but I didn't openly talk about it, so I could see why they, such as Olivia, would feel like, oh, how are they going to take this or whatever, even though we are accepting anyone else outside our family who's gay or whatever. I think that because we didn't maybe talk about it.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Like, it wasn't
in the house. I mean,
it wasn't like one of those things where you guys set us all down and be like, hey, just a blanket statement. Just in case anyone is,
although I haven't,
feel free to come forward.
Yeah.
But it's different times. I mean, I think back in my childhood. And again, when I talk about when I was bullied about it, I never really thought about it because I never got to the point where I actually questioned my sexuality. But I mean, you guys have never made me, I'm bragging about my parents, but they've always made us feel loved. And at the end of the day, I can't speak for all of my siblings, but I think, at least for me, and I think they would all agree that whether we ever disappointed our parents and whatever, even if we went against maybe things that we were raised to do, I don't think our parents ever made us feel like we wouldn't have their love and affection, which is something I've always been grateful for. And I don't know if everyone is lucky enough to say that. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. As far as initial reaction, I wasn't super proud of mine in hindsight, because when she said she was bi, I told you I had that reaction. It's like, how do you know? And I asked her that out loud. And in hindsight, it was like, that probably wasn't the most welcoming thing to say, to question her judgment.
Sure.
But that was my initial reaction.
Like almost
how do you even know?
Defensiveness?
No. I just was a little confused by the whole bi thing. It's sure. Like you're saying that you're either or you don't have it. And I'm like, what's your point of reference? You know?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing. We talk a little bit about ignorance or whatever. And I think sometimes we all, as a society, get defensive about being accused of having ignorance. And yet I think everyone has ignorance about a lot of things, even today. And I think more and more we become more of a progressive society. And you know, I joke with my parents and just kind of giving reference of just, again, how hardcore you guys once were. And I told mm-hmm. my parents over the weekend, my dad's reaction was really great. We were so Catholic at one point that when I was
how
a young
Catholic
kid,
were you?
What?
So Catholic. So Catholic that one time I have an aunt and uncle. I have a few aunt and uncles, but I don't know how it came up. And my aunt and uncle are not Catholic. They don't practice Catholicism, I don't know what you call it. And I remember my dad was being like, yeah, they're married, but not in the eyes of God. I think they got married by like a Lutheran priest. That's still Christian.
Yeah.
That's how hardcore my parents
were. I honestly don't remember that. Not my proudest moment, but.
I mean, listen.
But I think that's when you look back from where we started, I think for me, you know, you have children and it's almost like opening a door and it's just completely black and you just have no idea how this is going to work. And I didn't necessarily have my own, I don't even know if it was confidence and to believe what I really wanted to believe. There's in that time, there was a lot of guilt and shame. And then you kind of make your decisions on that without just feeling your heart and what. And as we had children, for me, it just, they taught me a lot. Mm. And, you know, and I think as parents, sometimes you feel like, you know, you're the ones that know it all. And not necessarily know it all, but, you know, just by what you were taught, instead of thinking, okay, how do I see the world in front of me right now, instead of looking back on how maybe I was raised and finding myself and what I believe in. Not that that was bad at all, because my parents taught me a lot. And I think even now at the age we're at, and Bella's, you know, 13, 14?
14.
You know, you're just always learning. You're always learning. And if you think as a parent that, okay, I've been a parent for 10 years. I think I know it. You're never going to know it all. You're always going to learn.
when we started having kids, Mary was 21 and I was 23. We were babies. Yeah. We had no clue. And there was, it's not like you had this guideline, and we just, you know, we knew how we were raised, and you kind of just go with the flow. So it's a good thing they start out as babies, because you can't do that much harm, you know, hopefully. But
I'm okay-ish, you know, yeah. As one of the older ones. I feel like I kind of turned out.
Yeah, fine. You did all right. But, you know, and you gain perspective over the years. And I was telling you recently, I remember, you know, when you were younger and you started playing sports and stuff, as a parent, it was just like, oh, this is just awesome, you know, and you're just all in and, you know, arguing with refs and, you know, yelling and getting all excited. And now I go to Bella's stuff and I'm just watching these other parents. I'm like, chill, buddy. It's just not that important, you know, and you gain perspective and you gain experience and knowledge, and there's things that you don't do so well, and hopefully you learn from them.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but kind of speaking to what Mom said, I mean, when I get asked about my childhood and upbringing and my parents, one thing my parents always did an amazing job of, and maybe this is a product of having so many kids and just not the time, but you guys were always so open to learn from your kids too. I mean, and again, my parents weren't like these laissez-faire parents at all. I mean, they were pretty strict and they taught us a lot and instilled a lot of values. So it wasn't like they didn't give a shit or they didn't like share their values. But as we got older, like their older kids, and we kind of grew up and we kind of branched out in the world and we kind of left the nest, so to speak, and then came back with different perspectives, that parents were always willing to listen and learn. It wasn't, well, we're your parents and we're right all the time. And I give my parents a lot of credit for that. And this is something that I noticed that my parents were always willing to do. Even when I was 18, 19 and I left and my older sister Jessica went out in the world. And then that's kind of how my parents were always open to evolving, which I don't know if that always happens out there. I hope it does. And you see it more and more. But my parents were always, you know, I always noticed that about my parents, and something I was always really grateful for, that they continue to evolve and be open-minded as their kids became open-minded as well.
I think the other thing, because of the size of the family, by necessity, to a certain extent, we were more hands-off in that we didn't micromanage. You know, we needed to allow you guys to figure things out on your own sometimes.
Yeah.
And we really, I think one of the things that we're both...
I appreciated that.
I think one of the things we're both proud of is that we allowed you to be self-determining and self-sufficient. You had to learn that, you know, you were responsible for your outcomes. And a lot of that was out of necessity, because there was no way we were going to be able to micromanage everyone. And
I appreciate, I mean, I, you know, I'm in college and I have to be an adult because I know my parents, Olivia was born when I was in college. So they had other shit going on. And then I had friends whose moms would show up, take their laundry, do their laundry. And I'm just like, bro, you know, but you know, I guess if my parents, you know, had nothing better to do, because like all of a sudden their kids are in college and my mom just wants to do my laundry because she misses me, I'm sure I would have let her. I don't know if that would have helped me much in life. And those little moments of figuring it out. You know, my parents, again, were amazing parents and always there for us when we needed. But there was a lot of, you got to start being an adult really quick and start figuring things out on your own. And my parents were always there for us. But I appreciated that, because I know in a lot of times I noticed that I grew up quicker than some of my friends, because they just relied on their parents to do those things. And so I think that was helpful.
But I think sometimes, maybe, I don't know, when you guys were growing up, probably there was a lot of times where you didn't think we were there, even though we were there.
I always knew you did. Some of my other siblings get a little tough on you sometimes.
I just think, you know, as a kid, I mean, there are times when you, as a parent, you see something happening and you know that maybe you just got to let them figure it out, because you really want to step in and do it, but you know that they got to learn that way. And I think it's just...
That's interesting. I want to tap into that, because I think what's really interesting about my parents is they've been parents for so long that they've...
We had three groups.
Well, in the sense that like I started... You know, they had kids in school in the mid-80s, and they have kids in school now, and it's still 2019. Wow. So to think about all the different types of parents you've parented with along the way to see right. how parenting has changed over the years, I think it's interesting. We'll tap into it in a second. We're going to take a quick fake break. And this is what we do in podcasting is we take a break, but you're still here.
I feel old.
And no. Does that mean I can't
you
use
look
the bathroom?
Very young.
Yeah, you can use, my dad's going to pee, and we're going to...
That's what I do.
Take a quick break. I think it's fascinating, and it kind of blows my mind to think that I have an older sister, and it was, 1985 when she was in kindergarten?
Who?
Jessica.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Ish.
So from 1985 to... present day, and you still have 5 years left of Bella and to graduate high school?
Just over four.
That's how many years of kids in school.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I think once you go to school, maybe a little bit before, you are interacting with other parents at your school.
Yes. We're talking 28 years by the time.
And so fascinating that you've obviously experienced parenting with other parents through the years.
Mm-hmm.
What has that been like, and how has that changed? And do you see a lot of difference in parenting styles now versus back in the day?
Yes, to some degree. As far as I tell people my perspective on it, because, you know, when we were young parents and you start to make friends with parents of your kids through school or activities, and the people that we initially made friends with, they're like moved on. I mean, they have grandchildren, they're traveling, they're doing, and we're still going to soccer games or parent teacher conferences or things like that. And I tell people that our life is like the movie Groundhog Day. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And that's not a bad thing. It's just different because, you know, for both of us, I think there's times where you're a little envious of the freedom that other people may have, but we don't have any regrets or blame. You know, it's totally on us. I mean, we're the ones that had the children, and it has presented lots of challenges, many financial, but even emotionally, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different challenges. But
I mean, I can't imagine just every parent obviously is emotionally connected to their kid. And so if something good or bad happens, as I'm right, you're reacting to it as parents. There's 11 different possibilities of shit happening from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is that of the 11 of you, I think my guess is that they don't realize what the other 10 are doing or calling us or whatever.
I don't ever think about it.
Yeah, well, we know.
You know.
But, you know, we've grown from it, and it's, you know, sometimes it gets overwhelming. But if I look back and I, you know, there's times where, you know, we wish that, oh, we could do this or do that. But there's a big joy of...
You guys seem thrilled.
What do you mean?
You're like, oh, all this.
Well, I mean, it is. I'm not gonna. I mean, it's a.
No, but let's get back to. I'm more interested. We can get to that in a second. But I'm more interested. Again, I think it's really fascinating. Throughout the years of the different, what have you seen from parenting back in the day that doesn't work anymore or still works, or what are some of the things that we've gotten away from? I mean, what have you learned from being parents in all these different generations and kids in school? And how is it different? I don't know. I mean,
well, I see as far as you can, for the kids aspect of it in school, and you know, when you older kids were younger, I think you were, I don't even know if I should even say more creative, because you guys are creative in other ways, but it's just like your artistic ability and the things that you guys would do. You guys were out more social. As the generations of you kids move down, I can see where, like for Teresa, Olivia, and Bella, you see less of that. I see less of it in all of you in a way.
It's more automated in terms of
phones. It's all the technology.
Sure.
Yeah, it's... Like, yeah.
And it's, when you were a kid, we didn't arrange play dates. We didn't. You had friends and you would be out playing hockey or street hockey or playing strikeout or doing something with your friends. You know, and we didn't arrange any of that. You did that. And now you see a lot more where parents are orchestrating their kids' lives. And we still don't do that. It's just not our style. And maybe they're missing out in some way because their friends, a lot of times, like, we'll ask Bella, why aren't you doing something with your friends? And they're always busy. They're always scheduled. Mm. So you see a lot more of that.
I'm assuming probably a lot of young parents listen to this podcast. Would you encourage them to try to do less orchestrating if they're doing that? Or are there things that you find beneficial now that, you know, that, what are you doing better? Also, like, what would you maybe encourage them to do? And what are some things that you see that are better parenting styles now than you did before?
I don't know that I feel like I have the background that I can tell people what they should do. Right. But
no, I'm not.
But I would, my opinion.
I mean, hell, you guys are experts in parenting. No,
my opinion is that when you overschedule your kids, for one thing, you're not allowing them to be self-determining. You know, that they're doing what you're having them do, whether it be dance or soccer or gymnastics or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And you guys did all, you know, obviously you guys did all those things, but it was not to the point that they didn't have any time to just be kids. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's not an unfair observation, but it appears that a lot of kids don't have that. You know, they're shuttling from here to there, and you know, there's not a lot of downtime where they can really figure out who they are. Like I said, maybe it's an unfair observation.
We also don't know what it's like for why parents do it. Only they can answer that themselves, like we do. I mean, as far as why they make their choices, I think even for us, even though we don't have our kids scheduled and everything, you have to really remind yourself, are you encouraging your child to do it because that's something they want to do, or you want them to do it? And I think every parent is vulnerable to that.
I feel very fortunate too, just because, I mean, you know, I grew up playing a lot of sports, and a lot of my siblings played sports, and yet neither of you were really in sports growing up.
No.
Dad, you were never that athletic, and Mom, you just didn't play sports. I mean, right?
All right. That's accurate.
No, but I remember my dad telling me just how it was. You guys never, whether it was me playing the violin or playing sports, I never felt pressured to do anything. I think I actually more remember my parents kind of this like authentic, like excitement, or like, wow, my kid likes baseball. My kid's kind of good at baseball. And you guys were like, this is neat. And you kind of like went with it and like, all right, now we have a kid who likes sports. What do we do with that?
Right.
Right. And I was always thankful, especially looking back. I will say I'm incredibly thankful to your point, is that as parents who were very, and again, make no mistake, my parents were very involved parents who very much taught, you know, they're right or wrong, whether they've changed their values, my parents instilled their values onto us, right? In a good way. I mean, every parent should parent. And yet my parents were always okay with not only letting us make our own choices, but letting other adults who they respected also sometimes, like coaches for me. My parents never had a problem with a coach coaching me. And sometimes at a very young age, a very strict and very rigid and a very hard coach, that at first reaction, I almost wanted to cry and almost be like, who's this person telling me what to do? You're not my parent. And my parents saying, respect your coach and respect what they're saying to them. It wasn't easy at first. And I don't know if parents are willing to do that these days. And I will say, I'm very thankful for that, because it has taught me to respect my elders, but realize there are a lot of smart people out there in the world who know a lot of things. And if it's only my parents who I let me teach things, and then myself, I'm closing myself off to a lot of different points of view in the world and a lot of people who know a lot. You know, one thing I was thankful for is my dad kind of was like, I don't know a lot about baseball, you know, or I don't know a lot about soccer. So listen to your coaches who do, you know, and that's the sports. But I always really appreciated my parents doing that. And instead of deciding they were going to be know-it-alls in whatever area because they were my parents. And it really benefited my life and something I've always been thankful for. So I don't know if you guys did that on purpose, but thanks.
Sometimes you can accidentally be good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know.
But I think, I don't know, listening to the younger kids and as far as having coaches, I think that times have changed as far as maybe kids respecting their coaches or teachers. I see a big difference.
And a good
it's like,
or
no, I don't think it's so good. I think I think there's
both.
Fear. I mean, there's good and bad. I mean, well, not even bad. Just there's a big change.
I think there's a lot more.
I think there's less respect.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of a feeling that you have to protect your kids from, and a lot of it justified because there are some unsavory people out there.
Well, that's the thing too. We've become more aware of, right. You know, some of these documentaries out there.
Sure.
Have you guys watched Abducted in Plain Sight?
No.
Whew, that's wild. But that really, that whole documentary is really about ignorance,
right.
And about not being able to asking questions. And not being involved the way you should be. So there is a balance there,
sure.
Right? And I think, you know, parents these days are, you know, back in the day, we didn't have these documentaries to watch to be like,
right.
Holy shit, do not let my kid
right.
ride the bike across town. When I went to go play with my friends, I would just get on my bike and I would ride 3 or 4 miles to my friends. And when I'd
and
get
I never,
down, I'd ride 3 or 4 miles home.
Yeah.
And I was fine. I mean, again,
I remember doing that at 6.
Yeah.
Just getting on my bike and going places, and as long as I was home to eat, everything was good. If I didn't, you know, didn't miss
and there's
the meals,
a balance there, right?
Right. Like with you older kids, we didn't think like that. Like with Bella and Olivia, it's like I'm afraid for them to walk the dog around the block now, and then I never had that fear before.
That's interesting because I would argue that it's probably safer now than it was back then. Don't you? I mean, don't you think?
I don't know.
You know. I think we're just more aware.
We
have heightened sense of.
Yeah. I tend to believe that it appears like it's less safe because of the ease access of information
sure.
that you hear about everything.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, if it didn't happen in your neighborhood, you didn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We just didn't hear about it. Back.
Right.
We're
it
more
wasn't
fearful
not going
as
up.
Parents as now than we were.
That's like, what I'm saying. I think it's ironic that we've become more protective and maybe rightfully so and more aware. And yet it's probably slightly safer than it was back then because we just weren't talking about it. We weren't aware.
Not just that, but you feel it's like I, as a parent, don't want to put such fear in my child. But by me having fear because of what I hear, how can you not have affect your children? And that's really hard because I can compare how it was with you guys, the older ones, and to the younger ones. And, you know, life just kind of throws out things and you just really don't know how it's going to affect your kids.
Statistically, I don't know if it's any more or less dangerous. I tend to think it's probably similar. And I tend to believe that the risk of any single child having an issue is very small. You know, so it becomes a what's the balance, you know, between living your life in fear and not doing anything and being careless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that's something you guys are just constantly kind of self-reflecting in.
I guess.
Probably me more than your dad.
Yeah, we balance each other. I tend to be more, yeah, they'll be fine. And mom's less like
kind of like going on that scooter.
Yeah.
Getting back to Olivia and just having a daughter who came out as gay, you know, what are some things I think as you guys reflect back that, again, I'm sitting here and I think you guys did an amazing job parenting 11 kids, but what would you have done differently a little bit or at all, or advice you would give to parents now about, that balance of instilling beliefs or just becoming to, you know, I think mom said it really best early on is that the realization of, you're still figuring things out as you become adults. Like, I mean, I'm not a parent yet, but, you know, a lot of people are becoming parents in their late 20s and early 30s, and we're all still figuring life out as we go. And what's that balance of of trying to figure out what you, you know, share to your kids and or and just having an open environment.
I just think it's just very important to be very open to everybody. I mean, to religion, to human beings, to your children. You just have to be very open and listen. Because I think people, you know, whether you're talking about politics or whatever, you people don't give people a chance to speak. You know, you need to listen and you need to accept other people's opinions and be very open-minded because you can learn a whole lot more than just living in the past or just living in the present. I mean, you just have to be very open-minded too.
Yes, as far as different styles of parenting, I think, I don't want to speak for Mary, but for me, when I look back, and I didn't think about it at the time, and I probably only recently come to the realization, but as parents, we probably didn't talk about those subjects enough. We probably, I mean, if you could attest to it, sexuality wasn't really a topic of conversation in the household.
No, other than don't have sex before you get married.
Yeah. So, and I think as parents, we probably could have done better as far as just making it okay. Right. You know, and I think part of it was the way we were raised and the times, you know, and there was a certain amount of taboo, you know, and we like to say we've evolved as parents. You know, we are not, you know, the same parents we were when we were raising you. We have a lot more open-mindedness. We were probably, and obviously from some of the comments that we apparently made, we were a lot more rigid. And now it's kind of like, you know, we have more of a acceptance and understanding of different points of view.
I think I was very lucky to have like them being as accepting as they were, because there are a lot of parents who aren't. Like, I hear stories about it.
Yeah, I mean, what before the episode we talked about, it's sad that when you look at the homeless population of the youth in America, what it's something 40% of that population is LGBTQ children who have been exiled from their families because of them being gay. That's a staggering number. And even in today's, you know, what we like to think of are more progressive is still going on.
It's a statistic I can't even wrap my head around, because I can't imagine, you know, having this child who you've raised and loved, and because of that, it's almost like if they came and said, "I murdered somebody," that'd be okay, but don't be gay.
Kind of. Sometimes you wonder if how many of those kids who were exiled, if they committed a crime, their parents have been more accepting of that. And again, I'm saying this you're hearing this from two people who were introduced by a Catholic priest, who I grew up around priests and nuns, could not have been more hardcore in their religion, and yet have evolved and been open-minded. And it's not to say my parents aren't still religious and don't have a relationship with God. It's just a more open-mindedness to realizing, as the human race, we just don't all have things figured out. But at the end of the day, you know, we all come from different backgrounds, and you have 11 kids, and we're all very different.
Right. Yes. You have to also imagine, I'm thinking back when you were younger, and I'm thinking, okay, let's just say you came to us and said, "Mom and Dad, I'm gay." First of all, way back then, I mean, I don't believe that I would ever kick you out for that. But you also have to ask yourself, okay, do these parents feel that way because they're ashamed and they're thinking, oh, what other people are going to think? Or, I mean, I'm wondering, I'm sure that's a natural thing for people to think. And I just think that.
Do you think that's what it is? Like shame?
I don't know.
I think part of it, I think it's.
By nature,
I think there's,
who knows?
I assume that a lot of it is religious or cultural.
Yeah. Or they think that they won't be accepted. But in
the community, we were talking about that, the Varsity Blues scandal. Have you guys heard of that? Where Aunt Becky from Full House paid to get her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what it came down to, what we think we all kind of concluded, the motive was more about the parents wanting their kids to go to a school so when they went to their cocktail parties, they could tell their friends proudly that their children were accepted and students of UCLA or Yale or whatever. And it seemed as though that was the motive. And yet, so like to have your kid come out as gay, and if you have a tight knit in a small community and most of your surrounding is people say in your church who in that fear, and I wonder if that's
society
the motivation.
Society has a lot of effect on how you react to things. And I don't know. I'm just very proud of Olivia. Like right now, as a person, I'm thinking, I don't care what other people think. I just know who my daughter is. She's a beautiful person. She has, you know, I know the good in her. And I just know that I want her to be happy. It's not what I want her to be. I want her to be truly happy, as I would want any of you, whether right. I like something that you're doing or not. I just want you to be happy within yourself.
Mom, how are you enjoying your Natural Habits essential oils?
I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would, because I think when you first gave them to me, I was hesitant like any other new product. I didn't know if you were
even my mom.
I didn't even know if you were just trying to sell me something. But they do work. They really do. I mean, I have them right on my vanity dresser, and I tend to reach for those before.
Which one's your favorite?
Release. Mm,
it's mine too.
11 kids. I wonder why.
You like Protect.
Pardon me?
Protect is the one I would normally reach for.
For the immunity boost?
Yes. Well, being a fragile old guy.
You know? Being a fragile. Well, I will say, while they do a lot, they will not fix a broken wrist. Funny. There's a lot of, you know, the essential oil business gets is there essential oil for that? And I think, you know, the problem sometimes, I think what Natural Habits is trying to fight against is this perception that essential oils can do you struggle with X, Y, or Z, there's an essential oil for
improve
that.
Your vision.
And improve your, like, no. But what it will do is, you know, relax you, help you with your anxiety, help you sleep better, calm you down. It can give you an immunity boost and help detox your body. And it can give you some energy and mental clarity. And those are things we try to focus on at Natural Habits. And so, again, we're just trying to make essential oil use really easy and very safe for everyone to use and get those benefits. And not pretend that it's a cure-all for everything. I do think sometimes essential oils gets a bad rap from some of the multi-level marketing companies out there, and the perception that it's just some sort of hocus-pocus voodoo. They have affected and changed my life dramatically and really helped me have a more positive emotional and mental well-being. And so I'm really proud that we can kind of bring this to people. And again, our roll-ons are ready to go out of the box. We blend them for you. And so you have to take all that challenge out of it. And we will soon be launching our diffuser line. We have our diffuser right here. Should be coming out in early May. So if you want to use Natural Habits, you can go to nhoils.com and use code. What are we going to use? Code.
What would be your reality show name if you guys had it?
Getting
Wild
with the Vials.
We're so wild.
That's too long for Code for Natural Habits. Great.
That's a good name though.
LGBT.
Q. No, I'm joking.
Should we do that?
Yeah, don't forget the Q.
Is it Q?
It's LGBTQ, and then there's like so many more too.
All right. So it for 30% off Natural Habits this week, use code LGBTQ. Right? LGBTQ?
Yeah.
LGBTQ. Say it how many times fast?
I can't.
30% off supporting the LGBTQ community.
Woo!
And, you know, get some essential oils and help your, you know, reduce your headaches. Again, if you're prone to headaches, our center is an amazing blend that really helps not only alleviate your headaches that you have, but if you use it on a regular basis, it'll help prevent you from getting headaches in the first place. If you need help sleeping, Release is perfect. If you just want to have an extra immunity boost when you're traveling, Protect. And everyone needs a little energy in the morning with our Rise blend. They are now available for sale individually. We have the bundle. So check us out at nhoils.com. Well, when you told me, my mom told me about Olivia being gay, and I know that her only concern, well, you didn't.
Well, I was going to.
I kind of blew it.
Wait, you didn't? I thought she ran it by you.
No, I just came out. I remember being home. And I was like, I told Nick for you. And I was like, I was going to.
That's fine. And I called her right away. But I will say my mom's only concern, you could tell, was make sure Olivia was okay. The only, like, in terms of people's perception, it wasn't about what they would think of Olivia. It was how it was very protective around Olivia. And you know, it's not easy for someone to come out at 17 at a very early age. And I think that was very brave of you, like mom said, to be able to do that. And I do give my parents a lot of credit for,
you know, you were nervous and scared, but ultimately they must have done something to make you feel comfortable with the idea deep down to know that they would accept you for who you are.
And yeah, because I've, like, they've always been like again, like my mom said, like they never really talked about that stuff. They never talked about sexuality.
We didn't talk about
stuff
sex
like that.
Or
we didn't talk about it. It just wasn't a subject that we talked about.
We were not very
open. I wasn't sure, but deep down I was like, they're not going to like kick me out of the house. They're not going to like shame me as their child. Like I knew that that wasn't going to happen.
Well, like when I lost my virginity, I was not going to tell my parents or like, I wasn't like actively talking about the fact that I was sexually active in my early 20s and not married. I think my parents kind of knew, but at some
actually,
point.
Actually, I think you did tell us.
At some point, it was more like I was just kind of the kid who was like in my early 20s. I was just like, I'm an adult. So like, I'm just going to like say it and see what happens. You know, where I just kind of decided I'm just going to swear in front of my parents. Just kind of test the relationship. Like, how, are we, you're my parents, but I'm an adult. Like, where, what is this? And so that was just kind of my personality. Just kind of say, fuck it. Let's, hey, by the way. yeah, I get my parents a lot of credit. Again, part of it, I think it was based off a necessity of they had other stuff going on. So they didn't have the time to worry, honestly, about every little decision that we've ever made, but to our benefit that you didn't overparent when we were adults. And so I don't know, something I was always kind of grateful for. Olivia, before we get into some fan questions, I don't know how many young people listen to this podcast or the parents, but if there are any young people listening, you know, what advice would you give them, or just how could people relate to the insecurities, anxieties that you had early on coming out, and you know, what you would encourage them to do? I understand that not everyone is as lucky as we are to have the parents that we have, but if they don't have that, what could young gay people who have that fear and anxiety do to make it that path easier?
I mean, I know that, like, not everyone's the same with how, like, it happens. Not everyone has the same parents. And, like, it's not always an easy process. Like, for me, it didn't go on for that long. I was able to tell my parents after 3 months after me, like, coming out to myself. Like, some people, it takes years for them to do that. But I think that, like, don't let your fear of other people's opinions, like, keep you from coming out and being, like, who you really are. Because that's something that I worried about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think I would have came out even sooner than I did if I wasn't worried about what people would think. Like, I was worried, like, once I came out to my friends, like, my friend group, I didn't care who knew. But at the same time, I did, because I was like, what are people going to say? Are people going to think differently about me? And it's just, like, that's what, like, had me, like, have so much fear is, like, what are people going to think of me? But when you do that, it just... You just gotta like accept it yourself, and you don't have to come out to your, like, you can take time to like realize who you are. Like for me, it was a quick process, but it isn't like that for everyone. So you don't have to come out right away. You can take your time, but don't let other people's opinions be why you don't come out.
And do you think that's probably a lot of it?
I think
too.
That's a lot of people. Like I know people who have came out to me, but they don't want to come out to other people because they're afraid of people's opinions. And I think that's something that you got to try to get like past that. And I know it's not an easy thing.
Well, especially for, you know, depending on their background, if they do come from a family background where it's total taboo, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, or a community or whatever it is. That's pretty scary. You almost would feel like you have to leave to be safe. You know what I mean?
You see it a lot. I mean, my parents live in Wisconsin, and it's Midwest and more conservative. And I think you traditionally would see that in the past. If you were gay in the Midwest or the South or more conservative, you would go to the more urban cities where you would have a larger community. You would meet other gay people and would feel more safe and accepted. And you would have to abandon kind of like your entire childhood and life, you know, especially maybe your parents loved you, but everyone else, you felt like an outsider going to local Starbucks and people looking, you know, I don't know. I think that's still, you know, definitely happened back in the day.
And I've known of people who had siblings or relatives who they knew were gay, but it's almost like they pretend that they're not. Mm-hmm. And often the ones that have been gay tend to move far away. Because then it's not in anybody's face. So it's, you know, it's not just out in the open. It's kind of like the dirty little secret kind of thing.
And something I've noticed too, like at least at my school, is there aren't many gay people in like my senior class and the classes above me, but the lower classes, like the new classes that keep coming in, there are more and more LGBTQ people, like more and
coming
more.
Coming out earlier?
Yeah, like they're younger and like the it's getting more of a, people are more comfortable with it, which is a great thing. But like there aren't many people in my grade who are. I'm one of a very few, or at least people that are out.
And you think it's more people just haven't come out yet? I guess, what is it, statistically, one out of every 10 people are gay or something like that?
I have no idea.
So when you think about it, of a graduating class of 400.
Should be 40.
20 to 40, you know, conservatively in that sense. I mean, and so that's kind of wild to think about how, I mean, you know, it's just something to think and consider, because I couldn't imagine what it would be like, you know, for someone to have these feelings and views and be worried about expressing yourself. I mean, so much of early childhood, especially when you go through puberty and you start liking girls as a guy, or if you're a girl and you're liking guys and you're straight, it's this exciting time, and you talk about it with your friends and you kind of have this natural curiosity and you say crazy things and make mistakes. And as a young gay person, I would be scary to not be able to express yourself. I truly couldn't imagine.
I think it also depends on the personality of the individual, because I can think even back to when I was in high school, there were people who I knew were gay, but they were confident enough in who they were that they didn't care. And people seemed to be somewhat accepting of it.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your point?
I think, because of who they were, that's not to say that they were the only people who were gay, but because they had the personality or the whatever it is where they could just say, screw it, this is who I am.
Well, that's probably take more it or rare leave back it. Then too, because that comes with like an inner confidence. But right. I think most people, especially if they are gay,
especially in high school,
outsiders, to have that would be
yeah. And in rare. High school, nobody really has a lot of confidence.
No,
I mean,
it's perceived, but like
it's rare.
But I think there's just so many situations in a child's life growing up, not even just being gay, but so many different situations where you, as a parent, you want to allow them to feel comfortable. And it's hard as a parent, because you're trying to teach them certain things, but you want them to, you don't want them to feel like they're being judged. And I guess from my parenting throughout all these years, I guess my goal would, if I could start over again, to be able to just in every situation have your child feel safe to come to you. And you know, maybe that's just a natural thing for a child not to, whatever you do, I don't know, but I think for me personally, I think that I could have
in any situation.
Yeah, you just want them to feel free to come to you so they feel safe no matter what it is, and to ever feeling judged. I mean, that I guess I would, that would be my suggestion too.
How would you have done that differently then?
I don't know, actually. Hopefully that I would just talk about it more and not have, you know, all I can say is guilt and shame has a really big effect in you personally, in raising children, you know, and there was a lot of it. I mean, you know, wherever it came from. I mean, if I could just gotten rid of that, I mean, it's good to have a conscience, but yeah. I think shame and guilt can control a lot. And I
think growing up, shame and guilt was a very,
it's a very
prominent
thing.
Even on yourself personally.
Parenting tactic in general, shame and guilt was like,
yeah.
It's that's how people kind of parented.
Even on yourselves. I mean, you did that to yourself. I mean, it was just a lot of that.
I can think of a number of people who have told me that the worst thing that typically their dad could have said to them was, you disappointed me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still to this day. And then when you really want to like fuck up your kid, that's what you say. You know, but sometimes, you know, that's the only way, maybe sometimes, to reach Because you can be disappointed sometimes. Sure. And I think sometimes maybe if you are
a parent. Naturally as a person, you feel nobody, somebody doesn't even have to tell you that. As a human being, I think when you share something with somebody, you automatically think, oh, did I disappoint them? Even if they didn't show that they were disappointed, it seems like it's a natural thing to feel. And you want to get rid of that feeling. You want to just feel like, yeah, they'll accept me. They'll, you know.
I mean, like, I knew that mom and dad, like, one of their worries, like, maybe not as much as I thought you did, was how other people would react and how I'd be treated.
I was very protective over you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't really have many people have a problem with me being gay. I had two instances where I just had a problem with people who had a problem with me or just made jokes about it or, you know, like it's, for me, I was very lucky in that sense, but I did.
Who made jokes?
I had someone who, I mean, I had someone who had graduated. I knew him when, met them when I was a freshman, like okay. in band or whatever. And a friend posted something on their Snapchat story about, like, made a joke about, like, because I had said something about, it had something to do with me being gay. And he, like, responded to the story, like, having problems with it. And then, like, there was a whole thing, like, that, like, I was sleeping at her house and he just kept texting me about how messed up it was and how I really? Like, it was wrong. And, like, I just, like, he blocked me on Snapchat. He blocked my friend on Snapchat. He blocked another friend. And we're all on the spectrum. And he blocked all of us. And
because, like, if he because didn't block we were you, gay. You would get, you'd give him the, that gay disease or something?
Yeah, like, I don't
know. Do you have any idea why?
No, I apparently, like, I found out that night that he didn't, you know, wasn't a fan of people who were gay. And apparently it was widely known and I didn't know it. Not, and that's how I found out.
Not a fan.
What does that even mean?
Again, you also, like, he was
but then again,
homophobic.
You also don't know where he's coming from. I mean, we're so quick to judge people. We just don't know where he's coming from.
No, I get that. You know, and
you know what's interesting to me is, you know, and maybe it has to do with my demographic, but I know a lot of people through work or associations that are obviously either homophobic or racist or something, and you still have to associate these with these people. There's a certain uncomfortableness. You know, there's times you want to go, you know, you're a racist. And I actually have done it, but I have to be careful because sometimes there are people who may have authority over you or, yeah. you know, have an ability to affect you in a negative
you
way.
Get very defensive. The people who are like, I'm not racist. I know a black person. it can be tough. But that's the thing though, too, is I think in today's world, not that I want to get into racism or anything like that, is I think as a society, we all have room to grow in terms of our understanding of other people's points of view. And I know I say this, and my overall goal of this podcast is to just continue to, in hopefully lighthearted conversations, continue to learn about a bunch of different people's perspectives, especially, you know, if we have people on the show with a different point of view, to just kind of have a natural curiosity about, I wonder where they get this perspective from. And not that they're going to necessarily change your mind, but there might be something we can learn from. And I think if we continue to become more open, even if it is against the grain of what we tend to believe or what we were brought up to believe, that we can all continue to learn a little bit more about each other and just become generally accepting so that we can make our own choices about our points of view. And here we have, you know, two people in their early 60s who talk about still learning about life and other people, you know, throughout their 50s into the early 60s. And, you know, hopefully that's a good example that we never stop becoming more aware of our people around us and our different points of view. And it's okay to, even if we thought one thing our whole life, I think sometimes we kind of hang on to that. So it's like, mm-hmm. Well, I thought this my whole life. I'm 45 now. And if I were to admit that I was wrong, that's a lot. It's almost like this burden to be like, well, if I, this almost gets like, wait, I've thought this way my whole life and I now realize I shouldn't have thought that way. That can be a lot sometimes on us in this.
Hopefully,
but
it's liberating.
Open to do that. Hopefully it's liberating, right? I don't know if everyone feels that way, this, right? I mean,
I think you need to be very grateful for anybody's opinion. You need to really embrace it and just take it in because...
It's hard. And you have to have a certain amount of humility.
A lot.
Yeah. Do you think we, us kids, help you give that humility?
Oh, you taught us humility definitely at over times. And over.
I think I'm better at doing it to myself because I do a lot of stupid things. So.
Was Olivia, did you ever wonder if any of the other kids might be gay?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
They said they thought you were gay during the break.
Yeah, I had a time where I thought
you were one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
growing up in Wisconsin, and you taught me what metrosexual was when it started to become a thing.
I've always felt different growing up in Milwaukee. I always liked fashion. I always liked to dance. These are all two stereotypes that come with the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always defensive about the term metrosexual.
Right.
I didn't like it because I was like, I'm not, and not that there was anything wrong with it. I'm not gay. I also like fashion and dancing. I hated the label. Like, why do I have to like be identified as right. something just because I like something? And I love sports, but I'm not a bro, and I don't wear other guys' jerseys on my back. And I'm not a bro. In fact, I'm going to go to the football game and I'm still going to give a shit about what I wear. I might change three times before I show up to this football game. And my friends would tease me for it. You know, I would have I'll never forget one time I went to opening day of Brewer game and I wore a jersey, but I wore a collared shirt underneath. And my friends were like, what the hell are you doing, dude? You know? And I'm like, I like the way it looks, you know? And it kind of, that always did bug me. Yeah, growing, you know, I definitely had a lot of friends kind of me like, hey, you know, if you're gay, it's cool, man. And I was like, I'm not, but I do still like this stuff. So I hope mm-hmm. that's cool with you.
I mean, that's something too. Like at school, people make jokes like, oh, that's gay. And I'm like, I don't understand when people, that's something that like some people take like to offense. Is like,
do you take offense to that now that you are, you're gay? Do you, if someone says, oh, that's so gay? Because I mean, I've definitely done that. I mean, don't be gay, dude. You know, when your friend, especially your bro-y guy, your guy friends. Oh, I mean, even the 40-year-old virgin, it's a funny part of the movie. You're like, you know how you know you're gay? You know, and again, I'm curious. Is that offensive to you? Is that something that we should stop doing?
I think sometimes it is. And for some people, it's not at all. For some people, it is. Like, people are like, oh, don't be gay. And it's like, because I think for a long time, that was like an insult to people.
I think it still can't. I think it's more the source. I think it's how it's intended, you know.
It's supposed to be like an insult. And you know, I think that's where it's offensive, is like people will be like, oh, that's gay. But it's like, I mean, sometimes it's not. I think it just depends upon the situation.
Again, growing up at my age when I was bullied, it was meant to be a bullying right. tactic. And I was worried that if I was, I'd be like, what? The last thing I'd ever want. Is
right. You know, and I think growing up in the times that we did, a lot of things that were accepted vernacular and are just no longer accepted, you know, and you could say, I had a science teacher in middle school that if you did something stupid, he called you a dotard. And he told you that was a combination of a dope and a retard. This was my teacher. And it was fine. Nobody cared. You know, nowadays you can't do that. Nor should you. But I think, you know, for people that grew up with that, you don't even think about it. And sometimes I say things that are inappropriate and Mary will smack me or whatever. I say, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I'm not supposed to say that.
I appreciate you saying that because again, sometimes part of learning is, the people who are more aware and knowledgeable to be willing to, help people along the way. I think sometimes we do fall in the trap of we'll criticize people, you know, someone who might make a mistake or might say something that isn't PC, and then they will get attacked and people get afraid. And not that they shouldn't be corrected, but I think if you are more aware of the proper way of saying things, be willing to help people out and not necessarily make feel judged, as long as they're willing to learn and listen. And I think that's a balance too, because sometimes we can jump on people and, oh, and start accusing them and
right.
and then, oh, you know, and so again, it's a balance on both sides to try to become, you know, more aware and more accepting of others. So you guys are up for answering some questions. I think we have some very relatable callers.
Sure.
That maybe you could shed some light on.
What's your time with it? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
Is this a dance segment?
Yeah, I start dancing. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, how you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. These are my parents.
Hi, Ashley.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you.
This is my sister, Olivia.
Hi.
We do have names. We're not just Nick's parents.
Chris and Mary and Olivia. What is your question, Ashley? How can we help you?
Okay, so I'm Mormon. I'm LDS. So our culture is really weird. It's really common for people to get married young.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm 19. I'm still in college. I'm like a sophomore in college. And a lot of people are like, so when are you getting married? And I don't want to get married anytime soon. But now people don't want to date me because I don't want to get married anytime soon. So I don't know how to navigate. It's rough.
Where do you go to college?
I'm at UVU, Utah Valley University.
Okay. And are you still like really, I mean, do you still live at home? Do you live in the dorms? Where?
No. Yeah, I live in dorms.
Are all the people you go to college with Mormon?
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
It's like, so I live in Provo, which is like the center of Mormonville, basically.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, we just spent a whole time. I grew up very Catholic. I have 10 siblings. We're not Mormon, yeah. But I'm probably some similarities, at least in just the kind of conservative aspect of our childhood with expectations and traditions and things like that. Maybe my parents can shed some light. I mean, I don't know what you guys have to say about this.
When I met Mary, I was 22 or 23, and I felt like I needed to get going. You know, it's like you're falling behind here as far as, you know, family-wise. And that was kind of at that time. And now it's so completely different where, you know, people are getting married in their mid to late 30s or even afterwards and not thinking of starting a family. And I don't think, I would say that what it is now is probably a healthier way in that, you know, a lot of the people who raised families when they were that young didn't do so well. Maybe they didn't have the maturity or the whatever, but maybe not. But
that's why I want to wait though, is because I feel like I am only 19. I still have a lot of growing up to do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I still have a lot of work to do on myself, but that doesn't mean I don't want to not date either. You know?
Well, I think that's really mature of you to admit. I mean, I always kind of joke when for example, when you're dating the person who's like, I'm super low maintenance and I'm not like, I'm immediately assume they're high maintenance. Or when the young person says, I'm very mature for my age, I immediately question their maturity. The fact that, you know, in the sense that like there's a self-awareness that you're showing that says I'm only 19, I have a lot to learn about myself, shows a lot of maturity on your part. And I think you should, you should not take that for granted, and you should not dismiss that. You should protect that awareness that you have about your own self, because a lot of people in life don't have that. And it might be tough in your community. And I can't relate, honestly, to how close of a community you have and the pressures that you feel. I can relate in a very open household of still feeling some of that pressure. So I can only imagine just how much you might feel it. But just protect that. I think you don't let other people convince you of what you should do with your life. You're an adult, but you're a young adult. And hopefully the people around you will respect that. And as you get older, I mean, once you're graduated from college, you probably can go anywhere. And you may find that your people around you aren't the type of life that you want. You know, you can choose that for yourself, and hopefully your family will be accepting if you decide to get married at 25, 26. I will say, in terms of your dating life, while you want to date, and you are, again, only 19, and you have the rest of your life to date. And it might not feel like that in the moment, but truly... And even if you have you're not going to go to college forever, and you probably don't want to. But when you graduate, whenever you're done with school, you will look back and be like, all the things you could do in college, you will want to do again. And so there are things right now as a 19-year-old you'll never get to do. You should really enjoy those moments. You will always be able to date, always, regardless of, you know, there are people in their 60s who are single who are still dating. It's like going to bars. People are excited. They're like, oh, I want to
go. It won't take that long.
I'm 21, so I go to bars. Like, bars will always be there, man. So, like, and that will eventually get old. Really focus on the things that you know that as you get older, it won't be as fun anymore. So just have fun. And if a guy comes along the way that is more open-minded, then date him. I would try not to stress about it. And I really wouldn't give in to what you know in your heart is something that you need to do, and that's grow, and you're not ready to settle down, and you're not ready to get married. Don't do that out of feeling the outside pressures of people who aren't you.
I do have a question for you. Is there a belief or attitude in your community that dating is only a means towards marriage?
Sorry, what was that?
That you only date to find a mate. That you wouldn't date So that is the problem for you because you're not thinking of marriage. That kind of takes you off the market, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So I don't know if you all know about like LDS missionaries, but basically they go when they're 18, 19, and it's either you go on a mission, or if you're not going on a mission, it's because you're getting married. And so it's very like you date to get married. That's it.
That makes it tough.
Well, you should be really proud that you are looking out for yourself and that you realize that's about you. Because when I was 19, I wish I felt that way. And I wish I felt I had the courage to even, you know, say it or realize it. Because you get really blinded by, you know, family or society or just, you know, I'm just really proud of you. So just embrace that and hold on to that and take care of yourself first, because once you take care of yourself, you'll be happy.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. And yeah, I can't stress enough that it will always be boys for you to date. So it really gets old. No, seriously though. I mean, I think every teenager feels that, you know. Yeah.
Not just that, but your relationship, whoever you find, will be very strong, stronger. Not that ours wasn't strong, but I know that if I would have just taken care of me first, I think that my life, you know, from that on would have been...
She could have done so much better.
No, I couldn't have. But, you know, it's just within yourself. It's really important to be happy within yourself. Because it'll affect any relationship you have.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You just have to have that conviction and not get discouraged.
Not getting a lot of outside support.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
What was that?
You're not getting a lot of support from your community for your decisions. You're feeling pressure. And it's...
But it's hard because... like any of my friends or roommates I've had have gotten married and they're like anywhere between 19 and 21. And so it's really hard to like keep friends because once they get married, they kind of just do their own thing with their spouse, which is fine.
Right.
But it's really hard to keep friends for longer than a year.
There will be a period of time in the near future where your friends will be maybe jealous of your life and freedoms and choices that you made. So, and maybe some not, but... right. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Okay.
So
cool.
All right. Well, you're doing great.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Hopefully that was helpful.
It was nice meeting
you. Stay strong. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you too.
All right. Bye bye.
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 Well, hi Nick. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's a great name. These are my parents, Chris and Mary.
Hi Nick.
Hi Nick.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Very knowledgeable people. And then my sister Olivia,
who
may or may not offer some insight into your life. But how can we help? What's your question?
All right. So I've been dating this girl for a little over a year now, and she's incredible. I love her to death. I plan on proposing later this year toward the end of the summer. The issue has arisen with her family. She was brought up in a very conservative and religious household. So they have not, been thrilled with how our relationship has progressed, I guess. They're cordial with me when we're together, but as soon as I leave, I get texts from my girlfriend about things they say. They're always on her case and trying to guilt trip her into feeling bad. They've made comments about the way I was raised, based on the kind of music I like. Things like that. Her brother even like went so far to say that he's not sure he'd be able to attend the wedding if we got married because he doesn't think I'm the right person for her because we don't have the same beliefs. So I guess I have a two-part question related to that. One is, what do you think, is it important for a long and happy marriage to have like a really good relationship with your in-laws? And two would be, is this something I should confront them about? Or more so just bring it up in a discussion, because up to this point I've been biting my tongue because sure. She's got enough to deal with her parents on her case. I don't want to be adding fuel to the fire, but it's really starting to boil over for me. So I don't know if I should say something to them, or just kind of let it go and hope it goes away in time.
I don't think it'll go away, Nick.
No, I don't either.
I think though that I think the sooner you talk to them and just try to be really relaxed about it and without all this building up, because the longer it builds up, you know, things are going to come out. But I would just try to have the most relaxing conversation, even though it might be a little tense. Just be honest with them. Ask them how they feel and try your hardest to accept whatever their thoughts are and opinions are. And I don't know. I would like to think that it would change a little bit.
I got a question for you, Nick. Your girlfriend, where's her point of view on your, like, the life that you guys choose to live together? Is she a part of this, or I guess what I'm saying is her brother thinks that she doesn't have the same belief system. What is her belief system? Is it more aligned with yours, or is it more aligned with the way she was raised?
Yeah. So, I think it has more to do with the religion. So we're both Christian, just different denominations. So really, I've tried to explain this to her, and she agrees. Like, the majority of our beliefs are very, very similar. So she is a very faithful person, which I appreciate. Like, I've been upfront with her from the beginning. Like, I never want her to abandon her beliefs, you know, because that makes who she is who she is. He's concerned that because we don't believe the exact same thing, mm-hmm. that it'll eventually cause us to clash. And we've had discussions about it. And we've agreed on when it comes to like raising kids in the future, how the marriage ceremony would be. Like, we've talked about it all, and we're on the same page.
Well, I think that's the thing that matters most. I mean, as far as her parents, or especially her brother, there's sometimes just a fear of, you know, she's growing up and she's starting to make her own choices that are going to be sometimes different than how she was raised.
I actually have an opinion on this.
Sure. Yeah.
When you're done. I'm sorry.
And she will, but like, what's most important to you guys, it sounds like you're communicating, and any couple is going to grow as a couple. And you know, my parents, if you listen to this episode before you call in, we'll talk about you guys. Throughout the years, you will evolve and your beliefs will change. And as long as you communicate and you're a team and you grow together, that's what matters most. It really, no disrespect to her parents, it's not going to matter in your marriage what their beliefs are, as long as you guys talk about those things. And it sounds like you are, whether it comes to how you would raise your children, wedding ceremonies. You guys need to be on the same page and be respectful to her parents and their beliefs. But ultimately, it comes down to you two. But she needs to kind of have your back too. It's not fair to you for her to text you. And I get where she's coming from, because she's feeling like she's between the two, I'm guessing. But it's not really fair to you to, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, what can you do if you're trying to be as understanding and supportive of her beliefs and love her for that? All you can do is keep supporting her and ask for their acceptance of you in her life. They don't have to agree with everything you do, but they do have to respect you, and they should more importantly respect their daughter's choices, that to know that she's not being manipulated by you. She is making her own choices with your support, and you guys will grow as a team.
And then
that was kind of my point, is that it's the relationship you have with her parents is really going to depend on her, in that she has to she has to stand up for the relationship. If she's passive about it and just listens to them and doesn't stand up for the relationship and doesn't say, this is what I've chosen, you need to accept it, that will never change.
But
that's,
I think
that's really up to her.
But I think in time, the relationship that you have and you grow with each other, and what I hear, how you respect her, I think in time her parents will respect you. I mean, it's just what you show them and believe in
I would agree with my mom. I think if you guys truly show that you are communicating and you're not in any way, you know, she's her own person, that there, I think it sounds like, my guess is her family is responding out of this fear. And you just have to show them over time. They have nothing really to be afraid of, that she is going to be her own person and these are her choices. And it might be just tough for a few years, and it might just be, you might feel like an outsider. It sounds like you're doing all the right things.
Right.
All you can do is open to them, talk about to them, hey, just to be honest, I love your daughter, and this is where we, maybe it would behoove you guys to sit as a couple with her parents together and hear it from her about your relationship and the conversations you guys have. And they might not always agree with you, but you guys are doing it together.
Right.
But they need to hear it from her that these are her choices too, because it sounds like they think it's all your choices.
And I wouldn't be afraid of the small differences in beliefs, because very often couples that have differences who are able to communicate and accept one another have stronger relationships rather than the ones who just, you know, agreeing with one another all the time.
Not just that, but I think your relationship will be an example to them someday. Doesn't matter if they're the parents and they're older. It's just that you will be an example to them.
Right. But if you're making her happy, that should be their main concern.
Right.
If the relationship causes their daughter to be happy, what more could a parent want?
Yeah. And not just that, but you complimented them just by saying that you love their daughter is who she is, and you don't want to change her. I mean, that's a compliment to them. So those little things.
Yeah, and her dad actually, so we went on a road trip over the summer, and he wasn't thrilled when he found out we were going to be staying in a hotel together.
Yeah.
So he actually called me, and we had a little bit of a talk. It was our first, like, father of the bride sort of, where he confronts the new guy.
We were there.
And I
you didn't see us?
I echoed some of those same thoughts to him. I told him that, you know, although he and I may have different beliefs, we both want the same thing, and that's for her to be happy. So I tried to reassure him that there's nothing that I'm doing that is to the detriment of her, and that everything I do, whatever we're doing, I'm doing because it makes her happy.
Right.
And I have been trying to, I don't know how to really say it. I've been encouraging her to stand up for herself more, and she's trying. She lives at home currently, so it's tough because they did, like, tell her, hey, if you spend the night at his house again, we might, you know, you're going to be kicked out of the house and stuff. So, like, it's been tough because she's still dependent on them.
Sure.
Right.
Can I ask how old you are?
Well, as I learned this week that I might actually be relocating down to Arizona for work, and she's going to be coming with me. So we were going to have to sit down and talk with them anyway and let them know that this is what's going to be happening. So I think this might be a good opportunity for us to just lay it all out on the table and go over everything we've discussed here. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
I'm guessing you guys are, what, 22, 23?
I'm 25. She's 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think her parents are going to have, you know, you're more or less telling them you need to choose whether you want to try and maintain the control or the risk of losing her. Or become more accepting, because that's the reality of it. Because if they push you away by trying to manipulate her, she's just going to hold that against them. But
I think you're really on the right. I mean, you communicate with them and you share and you're very honest with them. And I just think that's such a big plus. I mean, for us as parents, you know, if I have someone like that coming to me as a parent and talking, you know, I may, because we were there. We were like, oh God, you're going to be sleeping in a hotel, or you're going to be sleeping over it. I mean, we were there, but I think if I had somebody coming to me and sitting down and just sharing and being honest with me, I still might kind of feel the same way, but I would have such more, I'd feel much better about it and not so concerned, I guess, because I knew, I don't know. It just seems like you're a really great guy. I don't know you that well, but just by what you've shared and what you care about.
Yeah, I would agree with my mom. You seem like a really stand-up guy. I
appreciate
it. Yeah, and I think you just, you as a couple, you guys might have some tough moments, you know, and I think this is a situation a lot of young people find themselves in with very traditional families. You're really just going to have to rely on each other and have to have a lot of patience with each other. She will need to be her own person, and as long as you just let her be her own person, encourage her to have her own confidence, I think that's all you can really do.
And Nick, you're going to go through a lot of hurdles.
Yeah.
But you know, that, I mean, that's what's great. I think a lot of young couples today, as soon as there's a problem, you know, I think they're either, either afraid. I mean, I guess I am sometimes, just to pass that hurdle.
Yeah. I would also say that as a dad, and we were far more conservative when we were younger, if you go to her dad specifically, and probably her mom as well, and just be honest, you know, you're going to do what you think is best. You still respect him. You may not agree with him, and stand up and say, this is what we want to do. No disrespect, but we're making our decisions. And hopefully he's willing to accept it. I know for me, that would matter. That would matter for me as a father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and as long as you don't ever make her feel like she has to make a choice between her family and you, then you're going to be fine. And then that's going to be on them, to whether they have to make. But you're just always, no matter what, no matter how difficult her family might make it, you just always show that patience and knowing that they're her family. And they might not always make it easy, but they're her family, so you respect that, and you always have her back, and you guys will make it through.
Okay.
Good luck, Nick.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
I wish we could know the results of all this at the end.
Yeah, well, give us an update. You know, send us an email. But we appreciate your time, buddy, and best of luck on the new job in Arizona. And congratulations on the future proposal.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all the advice, and it was nice meeting you all.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Have a good.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, I just want to thank you again for coming. I love you guys, and hopefully this episode was helpful to the people listening. I think the biggest takeaway for me is how we can always learn throughout life, whether we're parents or just people going through life. No matter how old we get, we can still be open to learning about others and different ways and different lifestyles. Olivia, thank you so much for being so open and honest and being brave at such an early young age to come out. And hopefully people who are going through similar experiences, this will be helpful for. And it sounds like, you know, coming from you, just, you know, find someone you can open up to. Hopefully it is your parents, but if not, you know, maybe it is your youngest sister or a friend. And just, you should never feel alone, especially when you are going through something, you know, that you would tend to feel like an outsider. Try to find the people you trust and confide in, and find those people who make you feel safe and less afraid. And, you know, and that can be difficult, but try to find those people and never feel alone. So thank you again for being so brave, and I love you very much.
Yeah, I love you too.
You know, one last thing I want to say is, I think having these experiences as a parent, having Olivia come out, having you doing what you're doing has, for us as parents, offered us experiences, offered us insight, offered us an opportunity for us to grow that we might not otherwise have had. So thank you both for that.
All right. Well, it's a big love fest here.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could help.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to go enjoy the rest of their time in LA. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. This has been another episode of The Viophiles. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free, and we'd appreciate if you like this episode, your ratings on iTunes, 5 stars, and we'd love to get our 5-star rating back. Anyways, have a great week. All the best to you. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.